It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening or watching Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than Mike Flynn's dressing. You could join our chat room, the Den Pen, by going to davincomedy.com, click the live broadcast. Also, feel free to watch it on the Davin's Den Facebook page. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by Joe Curry. Hello, Joe.
Hello. How's everybody doing?
Oh, we are dandy, sir. And Pip Helix. Hello, Pip.
Everybody
on the show in School of Fools, we'll tell you why Jingle Balls is banned. Eric Clapton sues a widow for selling a bootleg CD. Ted Nugent doesn't think Joe's favorite band ABBA belongs in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. There might be fighting words there. We know how Joe feels about his ABBA. Former National Security Advisor Mike Flynn thinks the government is sneaking something into your dress, and it's not a fraternity prank, kids. It's not what you think. Our opinion on Lake Superior State University's list of banned words for 2022, as Pip were saying a little bit on the Facebook Live pre-show, they want to say goodbye to stuff that we kind of like. And scamming scammers. So, everybody good?
Yep, how was your New Year's?
I worked on New Year's Eve. I worked with quality people at a quality place, and then I also remembered of why it's not always great to work on New Year's Eve.
Oh, God. That doesn't sound good.
No, I mean,
did you work on I'm not being an asshole. Did you work on New Year's Day?
I did.
Okay.
I did a private event, which was supposed to be Christmas Eve, but they had an illness in the family, so they canceled it. And then, like, a couple days before New Year's Day, they're like, hey, can we reschedule for New Year's Day? I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? Which it was a house party. I did it for them a few years ago. Very, very nice family. So I enjoyed that. But I forgot about what New Year's Eve is. And it's happened a few times. And actually, the booker warned me. You get people that never go to comedy shows before. And they go to the New Year's Eve comedy show. And I forget that. And it leads to them groaning at shit that should not be groaned at.
Because they don't know how to behave at comedy shows, you think?
Yes. Yeah, I don't know. It tends to be an older crowd, especially the early show. So the early show, there were some folks that were like, ugh, I didn't like them. I don't think they liked me. I think it was mutual. But there was also people there who did enjoy me. And then the later show was better. But it's just like, I always like this. You're not funny. Stupid. Do you think the place where you're spending your money is hiring people that are not funny? No. And I even told them, I go, listen, the problem's not me, it's you. I've talked about this before. I am beyond the powdering of the asses to the comedy audience. You know, it's different if it's a corporate event, whatever. But at a comedy club, I am beyond that. I did my Alec Baldwin punishment joke. Because they needed to be punished. Why are you looking at me like that, Pip?
I don't remember what it is.
Reconfigured, Dick Cheney joke, but then it has a good tag to it. The joke is, you ever have that moment where you wish you were on a movie set with Alec Baldwin? And then that gets them like, ooh. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Did that joke trigger you? And that lets them know That lets them know what will be that I am in no mood for this.
What's about to happen?
Yeah, I mean, just fucking stop.
We had a nice crowd. We just did Friday. We didn't do a show Saturday, but we had a very nice crowd. And I go up there. I'm like, I'm thinking about the whole Betty White thing. Just upset me. So I get up there. I go, I am so glad to see this year go. It started off with promise. It was going okay. And then when the holidays come, what do? They fuck us. And it's the last thing what they did was the woman we thought would live forever, they fucking killed.
The audacity of a 99-year-old woman to die. Who does she think she is?
Well, you know what? I was just really bummed too, because it was like everyone was hoping to see her on her 100th birthday. It was so close, and it just seemed like everyone loved this woman, and it was like going to be so cool. And it's like, oh, fucking 2021. Again, with this kicking us in the balls. We're done. We're done being kicked in the balls.
2021, slightly better than 2020. That's what the motto is.
Like I was saying last week, 2021 for me was okay. You know, I was busy at the day program. I went on the road. I've been on the road. Went on the road with you. Went on the road with Aunt. It was fun. I look like I'm going on the road with you again. I'm going on the road with Ann. But where this COVID is going, I hope so, because you didn't have the expectation last year, because you said hopefully this will happen, and then it happened, and you got a taste, and you got back into it, and it's like, I hope, like I said when I was in Atlantic City last January, I took a picture of the stool from the side of the stage because I didn't know if I was ever going to see that side again.
Well, now that you bring up COVID, and I was going to get to it as part of something else to discuss, but you brought it up. Enough! I'm not talking about the fucking disease. The disease is going to do what the disease is going to do. Joe and I spoke briefly about this before the show. I said, I'm starting to come around to where you are. But it's different. In 2020, this was a novel virus that was a killer, where we had no vaccines and we had no treatments. So when they said shut it down and people were fighting about it's a flu, nay, nay, it was not a flu. When they're stacking up body bags in New York City at the hospital, it's not a flu. We got to figure out what this is. We're now almost 2 years into this, and what it is like, it's a bad cold. All right, we can't shut down everything over a bad cold. When the doctors are saying it's a bad cold, you're canceling thousands of flights. Thousands of flights, entertainment venues are closing because of COVID. How many people have to lose their life? How many people have to be inconvenienced over a fucking low grade fever? Enough. And if you get it, there's treatments now. There are actually treatments. People are winding up in the hospital still from Delta. We still have Delta running around. Delta's a bad mamma jamma. But they can test you and tell you what you have. They didn't tell me what I have, but they can. Depending on the test, they can tell you which one you have. If it's Omicron, you know what? Mask up. Wear some gloves. Get to fucking work. Enough. We all used to go to work. We all used to go to school not feeling great. And that's what made us great. This isn't 2020. How many people have to miss business trips because people are testing positive for the sniffles? I had it. I had the very typical case of it. It sucks for a couple of days. You have a low-grade fever. But I worked through it, and I would have gotten through the show. Now, listen, if you're doing something that's manual labor and lives are at stake, stay home. I get that. If you're a teacher and the kids can't get vaccinated, stay home. If you're a flight attendant, put on your hazmat little fucking helmet, put on the shield, put on the mask, put on the fucking gloves, because those planes, they've already determined, are safer than any place else because of the HEPA filters they have there. Let's go. Let's not fucking inconvenience people. Let's stop. Whole industries are getting shut down because of COVID outbreaks. But COVID doesn't mean what it meant in 2020. 2020, that shit was a killer. Now it's like, I feel like shit. Oh, well, yes, that's what we do. We feel like shit, and we carry on. It's fucking enough of this.
You want to know something? I got back to the day program. You know, Monday. You know, the holidays are over. Everybody's back in the day program. It was a ghost town because a couple of guys, two guys that worked with their brothers, they went on a bus trip and he wound up getting it, but he had mild symptoms. He stayed home. Don, who always been helpful, you know, with helping me with the show and stuff like that. Don was ready to have his birthday is on Christmas. He was ready to have a big celebration. He had to cancel it because his daughter, who's a nurse, tested positive. But he was saying he came in. He told he had to wear a mask, and he said, you know what, I'll work from home and blah 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 blah. Yeah, but he wasn't sick. It was just the thing about it. So you're looking around now, and you're seeing, you know, the infection rate, and the talk around the day program. Everybody's going to get it, you know.
But see, now this is the thing. Before, let's say the herd immunity was a stupid idea in 2020 when it was a killer. Now, herd immunity with the sniffles, not a bad idea, because then you're immune for 90 days and we could get to work. Right now, in where we live, Pip and I live, and where Joe lives, the positivity rate is around 25%. I guarantee you people are walking around with it who aren't even bothering to get tested and who don't feel a thing. This is a different animal. It's not COVID-19. It's COVID-2022.
You know, and the funny thing is walking into this, I'm getting more paranoid. When I had, at the beginning of the month, beginning of December, rather, I had a whole slew of Santa Claus gigs, and I had the New Year's gig, you know, and I'm like, I want to be healthy for these gigs. I got my shot in the end of November, but... So during the whole month, I was very nervous. I kind of stayed by myself and stuff like that. But I went out and I did my Santa Claus gigs. Nobody's really wearing a mask. I did New Year's Eve. I'm not wearing a mask. So moving into this year, I'm like, okay, I remained unscathed. Am I going to be okay? Am I going to stay okay? And then there are things coming up, like Thursday night, Chrissy Mayer is doing a taping. She's doing a taping at Governor's. I'm going to hang out because Ant's going to be down at Gino and stuff like that. I'm going to have some cocktails and stuff. And I'm like, should I go? Should I wear a mask? I go, I'm fucking going. Also, I'm going back to the club because we're doing, Ski Rocco is doing, Perillo's doing the workshop on Saturday. I want to go up and I want to work on my 10. Also, I'll figure it out. So I'm like moving forward. I'm getting paranoid, but I don't want the paranoid to dictate what I'm doing.
Listen, here's the thing. They wear masks. They want us to wear a mask. At first, I was against it. I told you last week I was wrong. Wear the mask. I'm not saying don't wear the mask. Wear a fucking shield. But we can't shut everything down because the government's not bailing us out this time. The government saved a lot of people and a lot of industries last time. You know, that's why it made sense to shut things down. There is no appetite in this country to bail out anybody right now. So what are we going to do? Are we going to curl into fetal position and fold up over the sniffles? And again, I'm not being inconsistent. I told Joe before the show, I'm following the science. In 2019, 2020, beginning of 2021, most of 2021, this shit was a killer. This version of it is not a killer. It's an inconvenience. We can survive. Yeah,
and also, everywhere you go, every place is short-staffed. I went to get my bagels on Monday, and it took forever when they're full. You know?
Not the bagels, Joe. Not the bagels. Not the bagel industry.
But I forgot where else I went, and it took forever because the dollar store. Yeah, I hit all the high places. The dollar store.
I don't really feel like you're making my point.
No, what I'm making my point is because people are staying home, they can't get people to come in, and everywhere you go, it's
well, because we're told to stay home, Joe. We're told to stay home, and then the CDC is like, cut it to 5 days, and everybody's like pissed off. I get why they're pissed off because the guidance keep changing, but the CDC is basically saying, listen, we all can't stay home, and this isn't a killer. We're at the point now where if you have pre-existing conditions, you should be able to stay home. But enough of us have had this or been vaccinated where we need to carry on. We all can't stay home. Unless the government's going to bail us out again, which they're not, somebody's got to go to fucking work and do some shit. Joe needs a bagel.
Yes, I need my bagel, you know? And yeah, it's like at the day program trying to get some people on the phone. You can't get people on the phone. It's just very frustrating. And like I said, going into this year, you know, you had hope, but then you snap, you know, it snaps back again. And I'm like, I got stuff with you. I'm supposed to do some stuff with Ant and those guys. And I'm like, okay, I hope it happens.
I already have venues canceling. And it's not like I can go into other places and try to pick up new venues. They're already canceling because people are freaking out. People are being unrealistic about what this is. And honestly, the media has told us what this is. The media has said this is less severe. The scientists have said that it's not like it's not like the media is saying stay home. I'd like to blame the media, but it's not really their fault. We're all being
told. Let me ask you a question. With things being canceled, how is Atlantis looking for you?
It's July. So, I don't know. I don't have my airfare yet, but I've already had. I'm going to be flying in a couple of weeks. A couple of weeks we're off. I'll be going right where I got the OG COVID the first time.
I was supposed to go to Chicago with Comedians at a Compound, do a spot in Chicago, which is in February. Now, that weekend, I got an offer for a Friday, which I said, you know what, let me take it. And then you offered me that Saturday. And then I said, I'll take the Saturday. I'd rather make money than spend money. But, in hindsight, I'm like, you want to know something? I really don't feel like dealing with all the shenanigans of flying now,
Well, I'll tell you how that is.
I'm kind of glad I'm not going to do that gig.
I'll tell you how flying is in 2 weeks. Because I'm supposed to fly out to Indiana in 2 weeks. I got to see, am I flying or am I driving? I got my airfare, but they're canceling everything. Enough! Go to work!
That's half the reason I drove to Myrtle Beach, because I was just looking at, after flying to Vegas and dealing with the car rental and this and the shenanigans flying and stuff like that, I'm like, you know what? Fuck it, I'll drive.
I mean, I'll drive if I have to. I'll tell you about what something just canceled on me, which really got my a service, which got my dander up. But I've been watching this, and I had a conversation with Pip before the show, and she's like, she's abundance of caution. People are going where she works. They're testing positive. They're going to get tested. It's the so honestly, really, what should happen is here's what should happen ideally next week, provided Pip is not ill. Hopefully, she won't be ill. Pip should come in my front door. She should wear a mask because my wife and daughter have not had COVID. And then Pip can come down here and hang out with me because I'm immune to this for the next slightly less than 90 days. So even if Pip does have it, I'm not going to get it. That's really what should happen, unless she's feeling under the weather next week and she can't make it. But if people are testing positive, if Pip tests positive, I'll tell my wife and daughter, give Pip a wide berth. If she needs the bathroom, we Lysol it down when she does. She's going to hang out with me. Well, we always like burst set it a fire when Pip's done with it. But,
That's true.
You should pretty much set every area of the place that I've been in on fire.
Well, we salt the earth when you leave.
Nothing will grow again.
Nothing will grow after Pip's been there.
Well, they really are dropping like flies in my day program. And what was really unsettling was the woman that I sit the closest to. She and we share a lot of the same papers and stuff because we have the same position. She just found out lunchtime today that her daughter's boyfriend, who she was around New Year's, tested positive, and everybody in our office, like, people are coming back from having had it now, but our office is like, you test positive, you stay the fuck home.
But the people who have had it should have their asses back in the office. Let's go. If you've had it, they have nothing to worry about for about 90 days. That's what the scientists say the immunity is with this, about 90 days.
I'm sorry. I stepped on your tip. I'm sorry. But
my bad.
Oh, sorry. My day program, like I said, the two brothers, they had it, and they were out last week. But, last week, it was a dead week. It really was, and we started, we're in Monday. Another guy I worked with, he's feeling under the weather, and he's got all the key symptoms, so he's working from home, my thing is that I'm praying I don't get it. I shouldn't get it because I got the immunity.
I guarantee you, Joe, if you get it and you've gotten the booster you will have worked through worse. Now, I'm not saying if you don't feel, if I'm not saying if you're ill, you should go into the office. I'm not saying that. But I guarantee you, if you have it, you'll be sitting at home. You'll feel like shit, but you'll also be climbing up the walls going, I've fucking gone in worse. What are we doing here?
Let me tell you something. With all the supplement plus the booster, having immunity from last year, and the booster and stuff like that, and I felt it when I got the booster, so I know that I had, you know, my body was working on overtime to get everything straightened out. If anything gets into my system, it's going to be the bar scene from A Bronx Tale. You know, now you just can't leave. You know, so I got so much. I got so much stuff in my body looking for a fucking fight.
Well, I mean, like even President Biden today said it, and the new mayor of New York, Adams, said, like, we can't shut down the schools. Now, they're having staffing issues, but I saw a private school in Long Island. They were talking to they were shut down for the first 2 days off the break. And then they said they're having, like, all their substitutes come in. They're like, come in. Even if we don't need you, come in because we don't know. Let's go, people. I mean, a little fucking ingenuity, a little American toughness, a little know-how. Seriously, it's a cold. It sucks a bag of dicks, but you've all gone through worse with this thing. Because the death rate is going down. If you look at the weekly tolls, the death rate's going down. The hospitalization rate is going down. This is not Delta. This is not the OG version. This is mild. And probably from what I think, they get more contagious and more mild as they keep on mutating. Hopefully,
as they say, because as they mutate, they get weaker.
Yes.
So we
got to get out of our head, oh, COVID, oh, end of the world. And you guys who listen, you know I was not that guy. I'm following the signs. I see what's going on. Just because you hear COVID doesn't mean you have to scatter like a roach when I turn on the lights. Let's go. Back to work.
But that's fun.
It is fun.
Also with the stance on keeping the schools open, as people don't understand, when the schools close, I mean, a lot of people work. And I watch people with kids, you know, with the kids being home, it's a major problem.
Yeah.
How am I going to work? How am I going to watch the kid? Who's going to take? So, you know, it also adds to staffing at a job, you know, and working around those parameters too, you know.
Honestly, Joe Biden needs to pretty much say what Trump was saying erroneously at the time, but he needs to pretty much say, go, this is different. We need to work through this. If you don't feel well, stay home. But a positive test, I'll tell you right now, I took one of the tests like several days after I was done with it, positive. I'm probably still testing positive right now. So, I mean, sometimes it stays in your body for months, but you can't stop doing your shit for months. It's in your body. I mean, am I 100%? If I didn't have COVID, I'd think, oh, I just got the sniffles or a little of this, a little of that. It's no big deal. You know why? Because it's fucking January in the Northeast. Nobody feels great in January in the Northeast. We all have the sniffles. It's shit weather and you feel yuck. We have like 3 months of decent weather in this fucking region. And that's what we've all resigned ourselves to. Let's
get where you are, yes.
No, it's the same thing. You posted it last week, and I agree with you. You're like, what's it been, like a week since we've seen the sun? Today we got a little taste of the sun, a little peekaboo.
We hadn't seen the sun, because I noticed, because Christmas Eve, it was a cloudy, and I noticed, I go, the sun hasn't been out in over a week. The damn thing finally came out today.
You know why? You know why, Joe? Because the sun doesn't warm pussies. And we're being a bunch of pussies in the Northeast. And the sun's like, fuck you people. You're gonna shiver a little, have some dampness.
Well, it really depends on
what position you sit in.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is, the company cat's been hiding in this little house that we built for him. And he was out today sunning himself. And I looked at him, I go, about fucking time, huh? And he's like, meow.
All right, so I mean, do we all agree that we got to get a little tougher with this COVID-19 thing here?
Absolutely, and we're trying just to get back some normalcy. We had a taste of it. And you start to see, well, we got to cut things down, and then you look at the parameters of what's going on now, and it's like, well, let's not get too rash here. Let's use a little common sense.
People are scared, man. I've had venues tell me, because we've talked about it, you know, that survived the last one, you know, with government help. They're like, if that shit happens again, and they're already seeing it, people are canceling, they're not going to survive. People are so fucking scared. Now, honestly, listen, I don't know how wise it is to eat in a restaurant or not restaurant. But you know what? It's never wise to eat in a restaurant if you're worried about getting a cold. We all get colds. We all feel yuck. That's part of being a human being. There's so many bugs out there.
Thing about it is that you eat in a restaurant with the protocols that they set up last year at this time. You know, I mean, we get like there's a place in town, in our old town, that Joe's Grill and I like to go to have dinner. And we were there last year. Well, it was really when people started opening up, with the whole dividers, it was fine. It was not normal, but it was fine. If we set it up, we have to do it again. All right, fine, but we don't have to close the fucking place.
No, the governments aren't shutting them down. They're just having people cancel. They don't want to go out to eat. They're canceling their parties. They're canceling their catering. You know, I get it. But that's what I'm saying. That's what you need. You need Biden to get out there, and you need the governors to, you know, to say this is different. This is not what we can work through this. We have treatments. You know, you don't. If you feel fine, why do you need to be tested? Just because you, I mean, seriously, why do you need to be tested if you feel fine? You look at these fucking lines. Listen, if you don't,
because you're contagious.
But if you feel fine, you should. So we're all going to line up for a fucking test if we feel fine.
No, you could pass on to somebody else. I can always won't feel fine.
Every winter we're all contagious. We're walking around with shit. This isn't a killer.
I'll tell you why. I was going up to the family farm, and I called, you know, I thought about it. Should I maybe take a test? And I go, you can't get a kit. The lines out of City MD are 3 hours plus long. And I called my nephew. I said this last week. I called my nephew, Matt. And I said, like, Matt, here's the deal. I feel fine. I don't have any symptoms. Blah, 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 blah. I'm not waiting. I'm not sitting out City MD. I'm not going to stick around. Are you fine? They go, yeah, it's all horseshit. Come on up. You know, and we did. We had a very nice time, you know. And so far, so good. So far, so good. I've been, you know, I was there a week ago. I haven't got a call from them. They haven't got a call from me. You know, I, you know, you play the game, and sometimes, you know, you sit there and go, I'm playing the game. Fuck it. You know, I gotta live my life.
We are at the point now where if you are immunocompromised, or you're a senior citizen, or you're very obese or something, and you want to stay home if you want. If you're that scared of this, everybody else, let's go. Enough of this shit. Now, if we get another variant that's a killer that we don't have any solutions to, I'll change my tune. But if you're telling me you're going to have a low-grade fever, a sore throat, and the fucking sniffles, we've all worked through that shit before. You know, listen, if you have a 102-degree fever, stay the fuck home. I had a 99 point whatever degree fever. Did I feel like shit? Yeah, but I didn't have anywheres to be. If I had to be somewhere, I could have been somewhere if it wasn't COVID where they tell you to stay home. There's worse shit out there.
Yeah.
What's the matter, Pip? You look forlorn.
No, I'm fine. I think that the people that I've worked with have been reporting that they felt pretty damn shitty. And, I could they have come in and worked through it? Yeah. Would more of us have gotten it and then we're all feel shitty?
But here's the thing, Pip. Here's the difference between now and the OG version. They're all coming back to work. Nobody's dying. Nobody's going to hospitals. Yeah, on the days you feel, if you really feel like shit, stay home. If you really feel bad, stay home. I'm not saying that. Listen, we all have sick days. That's it. But if you feel like you could come to work, come to work. This isn't the killer it was. That's all I'm saying.
I have pre-existing conditions.
You should probably stay home.
I don't think they're giving it to me.
You should probably say, honestly, you know, they used to say, well, we'll have to protect the ones that, you know, that need protecting. It wasn't feasible then, but now enough of us have been vaccinated, and there's treatments where if somebody in Pip's case, really her and her job, her day program, should have a discussion of how she could continue to earn money, but she has pre-existing conditions during this portion where it's very contagious. That's probably what we should have. And everybody else should get their ass back to work unless they don't really feel well.
Well, the ones who have been through it and are done, they're back to work today.
Good.
But then now there's a new crop. They're getting got it from being with their family on New Year's or whatever. And now they're going out.
That's like my place. That's like my place. You know, I had the people that had, like I said, the boys, they had it there back. My other coworker, he called in. He's got the symptoms. You can't get a fucking test. But he's not a not a dope. He's got the symptoms, so he's working from home. You know, so and you know if you have the symptoms, you know, I mean, they're pretty obvious. They tell you what the symptoms are. You know, and if you have the symptoms, you stay home. You know, I mean, but like I said, you can't get a test. You can't find a test. They don't have the test to hand out. You can't. So you got to use a little common sense. I'm not going to get a test, but I feel fine. So I don't feel fine. You know, it's going to be status quo.
All right. So on Wednesday, we went over to the new house before the closing to do the final walkthrough. The seller was still moving her shit out. She was supposed to be out by Tuesday. So she was expecting the pod before Christmas, but they didn't show up until Tuesday, so she got screwed. Again, nobody can do a fucking job. Nobody can stick to a...
Once again, before you stamp your foot and say, damn it all, and you know my temper and how short it is, a lot of guys are short-staffed, man. You know, they don't have the guys.
You know what, brother? Here's the thing. If you're the boss, your management, listen, we're going to be late. We're going to deliver it at 1 a.m. We're going to deliver it on Christmas. You figure it out. You don't have somebody waiting for 3 fucking days. You figure that shit out. I understand you. It's going to be late. You don't wait for somebody 3 days. They're trying to move out of a place, and you deliver it whenever you feel like it. No, that's not good enough. If you have to work Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, so be it. You make the most money.
Steph, if you can get the guys. Now, look, I got my pod when I moved up. The damn thing dropped on my driveway at both houses when they said they would. And you know my patience, and I don't have patience for a lot of shit. If you don't have the guy, it's somebody that used to schedule crews. You don't have the guys, you don't have the fucking guys.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You got management. If management has to fucking haul the drive the truck, management, figure this shit. Fine, listen, like I said, I'm willing to give you the benefit of the doubt. 3 days is unacceptable. Somebody waiting for a pod to move their stuff out, 72 hours is unacceptable. It's not good enough. Or if you are going to do that, you know what? Here, I'm giving it to you for half price. I'm sorry. Now, I don't know if they gave her a deal, but she didn't say that.
If that's the case, you can't get you throw her a bone. It's like, look, the damn thing, you know, look, it's going to be half price. We're sorry. We tried to do the best we can. What are you going to do? You know?
It's not good enough. You know, people in this country it's all too easy for Americans to throw up their hands and go, what are you going to do? You're going to fucking make it right, stupid. That's what you're going to do. But we don't do that now. Nobody wants to do that because it's a little harder.
It's just, you know what, though? It's just fucking impossible to do shit. I have so many shipment fuck-ups that I'm resolving and working on and stuff like that. And it's the things that are going on are fucking maddening. He can't get people in a warehouse to do a job right. He can't get a trucking company. Because I already spoke to my regional about all the problems. I go, we got to fix it. And then we can do it at this juncture. You know? And it's frustrating. But there's nothing you can do. I mean, you got to try. And like I said, I found that unacceptable, that answer.
But that's the problem. That's the problem. You know, there's too many people saying there's nothing we can do. It's unacceptable. You know, we saw this on I-95. I don't want to get into that whole story. They had people standing in Virginia on I-95 in North, 95 North, because of a little snow, and it's 19 degrees outside. We can't get anybody moving. That's unacceptable. Figure it out.
Is that what happened?
Yes.
I wanted to look at the story. It was nothing but fucking clickbait. I was fucking furious.
So what happened was there was a burst of snow like we got a few years ago when you and I were supposed to work together and I couldn't get out there. And it fucked.
Oh, right.
And it fucked everything up. And I guess they were trying to divert people through a small town that doesn't have the infrastructure for it. And that made things worse. You know what? It's unacceptable to have people sitting in their cars for close to a day because you can't figure shit out. So that's what I'm saying. There's nothing we can do. No! Figure shit out. There's too much of, there's nothing we can do. Figure shit out.
You know what the funny thing is? It's a manpower thing. As a matter of fact, if you've been on the road, I mean like on the expressway, on the thruway or whatever, they have signs looking for plow truck operators. I've never seen that before. You know,
I've never seen that before.
Well, they're going to have to pay more money. All right, so she's moving her shit out. Remember, she had wanted to go from my closing to her closing in the new house. That was the whole holdup. So the person she's buying from has not moved out yet. The owner died, and now her three children are squabbling over, and the one who still lives there doesn't want to move out. So she served them...
The house that she's buying?
Yes.
I go, well, it's not your fucking problem.
Understand. But that, but it, but okay, shit...
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Shit rolls downhill.
Come!
I know.
But here's the difference between me and everybody else. If you can't fix it...
I'll kick them out.
Well, yeah, if you can't fix it, I'm giving you a double finger salute and I'm out of here. I'm not catering to your inability to do shit because I have other shit that... But that's just... Too many of us accept there's nothing we can do. Then fuck it. I'm out of here. I'll figure out something else. I don't need your incompetence screwing me up. So
no, but you know what, Dad? Before we were talking about this, that, and the other thing. With this situation, enough's enough.
Oh, yeah.
Out.
Well, that...
Out.
Well, that's why we gave her the time of is of the essence letter.
Yeah,
so,
well, that's the thing. Out.
So now she has served them with a time is of the essence letter. Now, but now here's the thing. She's willing to rent to them after like after the time of the essence letter expires for $300 a day. Now, in the in the meantime. She has to store stuff in a pod and rent the place. So she's got two of these expenses going. Now, remember, we were going to let her pay around $80 a day to stay in the house. Remember that? If we closed, if we closed on the 9th or 10th, we were going to let her stay, pay $80 a day up until Christmas. Christmas, she was... the day after Christmas. I gave her till the day after Christmas, 5 p.m., to get out. Like, we could have done it the 23rd, and I said, you know what? Give her till after Christmas. It's fine. And then she didn't want to do that. Well, they didn't want to do that. So it was $80 a day. So then we came back. We said, fine. After the 26th, it goes up to twice as much, which is 160 and change a day, and you got to be out by the January 9th. That's your drop dead day. That was mine. That was our final offer. The lawyer said, "Go fuck yourself." Out of hand. I mean, he wasn't even entertaining that. But here's the thing. I don't think he ever brought that to her. And our lawyer doesn't think so, and the real estate agents don't think so either, because she would have been better off, because now she's scrambling, now she has to pay rent and a pod, and she has to set a time as of the essence letter, when she could have been in her house at eight.
And she's paying $300 a day. Get the fuck out of that. You could stay at a Hampton Inn for $150 a day, and that's on the high end. Why are you staying on this joint and paying $300?
Well, no. She's gonna serve them with the time of the S. She wants to serve them with $300. When we were asking for like $160 and change, and he's like, no. So he fucked her. Her lawyer fucked her. You know, it basically came down to the fact that we said you're out or we're out of here. We will sue you. We will sue you for cost and everything. So it forced her hand. So we thought it was going to be pretty contentious with her when we saw her there. But it wasn't because...
Oh, good.
It wasn't because I don't think she knows that we were willing to play ball with her. You know, I think she knows that she's dealing with bullshit on her end. Now, we weren't going to say, listen, your lawyer fucked you, lady. You know,
keep your mouth shut. You don't say anything.
No, but realistically, she could have been in the house through the 9th. She could have been through, and she would have been able to do possibly the closing to closing like she wanted to do. But her lawyer fucked her. So now we got to go to the close. So we look. So we she leaves. We do the walkthrough. She's leaving the pool equipment, all the pool equipment, and then there's this like little robot that goes on the bottom of the pool that vacuums it. And she's leaving us all the it's very nice wicker pool loungers and everything.
I saw the pool area. You posted those pictures. That's a nice house. I like the pool area. The front of the house is nice.
Yeah,
the area looks nice.
Thank you. Well, you're invited to come up. You just don't cross bridges anymore, but you're invited to come up. But it is, you know, and I post a front picture and a back picture, and the comments have been very positive, which is nice, I guess. People,
because it's nice.
Yeah, no,
it's
no, it
nice.
Is.
What's...
Listen, you never know what people are going to say.
What's the bitch about?
Have you met social media?
Oh, yes, that's true.
Yes.
That's true. But I was, like, really impressed. I was like, nice.
Yeah.
No, it's a very nice house. So she's leaving us all that pool equipment and the loungers and everything, which is very nice. So then we go inside, and one of the drawers for the cabinets is broken, which wasn't before. We didn't notice. And we're like, you know what? We're not going to fucking bitch about this. She's leaving us the pool equipment. It's fine. We did notice there was a pole sticking out of the ground that we'd never seen before, but apparently it was there. It's an old basketball pole, and it's like leaning, so we got to get that removed. We never noticed it. The real estate agent never noticed it. Okay, so we close, we close on the house, and we come back, and they're still moving shit out. This is several hours later.
It's like, this is our house now.
Yeah.
Let's go.
But you know what? We were like, you know what? Take the fucking night. You know, we wanted to do some shit in the house. We have every legal right to kick them out. But it's just like, you know what? Finish moving your shit out. I'm not going to stand over here like an overlord. Just do your shit, you know?
Yeah, the lady.
It's not like you came back and she's like napping on the couch.
No.
And eating a pot of pasta. You know what I mean? Like,
no. They were getting stuff out.
Yeah, the people that bought my house, I they were very nice because of Joanne fucking around. We had to run to the closing, and I had a couple of odds and ends. I had to grab with the rape fan from the day program, and I went. I told her at the closing, look, I just got to come back for about 10 minutes, and I came back a little. So I go, can I borrow the bathroom for a minute? I know where it is, you know. But
one more deuce, a final deuce.
And then the woman and I was with Joe's girl, and the woman saw us. She goes, boy, that's normal. I don't know how you were married to your wife. she goes, she's nuts. And I go, no shit. How come we're all standing like this now? I know that. If she wasn't, I'd still be here.
True. So we
really.
So we go back to the house the next day. And upon further inspection, one of the shelves in the cabinets is being held up by a Pringles can. Another shelf in a different cabinet is being held up by a spatula. This, you know, you're not going to go through somebody's fucking cabinets like that. When you see a Pringles can, you go, oh, that's where they keep their potato chips. You don't think they're holding the shit up in it. Okay.
You don't think that's the foundational Pringles?
Yes.
$5 at Home Depot, you get some angle brackets to go right in the bottom. It's all done.
Yeah, I mean, now, pardon me. The kitchen, it looks like we're going to have to be doing a gutting on that. We did not realize how bad the counter was. We knew we were going to rip up the floors. We want to bring our appliances from here to there because ours are newer and better. We got to figure that out. The problem was, the real big issue is, she was a smoker and a toker and had two large dogs. So,
oh boy.
So there was an aroma in the house.
This is a good place for a speak up.
So we had our HVAC guy come in, gave us a new water heater. And we had to have him do the. He was like, "Oh my god!" He's like, "Who smokes in the house in this day and age? What is that? Oust?
Oust?
What does that mean? I don't know what that
is." This is what I face at the cat box if I have to be in here and somebody drops a bomb.
Oh no, dear! No, oust. no, dear. We're not dealing with a cat turd going awry. We are dealing with years of smoking in the fucking bedroom and everything.
I know that smell. I lived in that smell.
Yeah.
My parents were both smokers.
My mom smoked like a diesel train, and there was so much thick cigarette smoke on everything. Everything had to be rubbed out. Yeah, I know what that's like too.
So yep. he changed the water heater, which we knew we were going to do, and then he came back and he took out like filters. He changed all the duct. He changed the duct. He literally took out the old ducts, you know, like the big silver ducts. And he like literally, and that started to help it too. So that's starting to help. So then,
I got a quick question for you on the water heater. Did you go with the tankless unit, or do you got the tank?
I just wound up getting the tanked one. You know, I appreciate you giving me the price quote on it. He had the one that we needed handy. as opposed
to
or.
Yeah, why not? You know, it'll work. Sure.
So, you know, he's been our HVAC guy for 17 years. So.
Wow.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, if I find somebody who does a good job, it's not like I'm shopping around to nickel and dime. He might be very expensive. I have no idea. But when he fixes shit, it doesn't break. I like that.
Right. If you've got guys that are good and, come over and stuff like that, yeah, that you stay with what you know. I mean, with everything, with a dentist, with the house, whatever, you know.
Exactly. So, All right. So also on Thursday, the locksmith comes over. Now, we had scheduled the appointment several weeks ago. He came over, and he told us what he needed, but he didn't come to do the job.
Devin, who was this again?
The locksmith.
Okay, locksmith, all right.
Sounds like you had this appointment.
So, he's giving you a quote, but he's not ready to do the work.
No, we had to wait till Monday for that, which was very annoying. It's like...
Yeah.
We need locks. You should have a ballpark of what we're going to need. Come with a bunch of different things and let's go. So we had to wait till Monday for that. Whatever. So we finally got the new locks in. So what else? So today, so we got all the HVAC done. So now we're debating, well, what are we going to do with these carpets? Because the carpets actually look like they're in good condition upstairs. So, are we keeping these carpets upstairs? Because downstairs is hardwood floor, but upstairs carpet. Are we keeping these carpets, or do we have to get them ripped out? So we have a carpet guy who came over today, and he feels very good about doing it. He's like, you got to get rid of the ceiling fan. He's like, I wouldn't use that anymore. He's like, you got to wipe down the walls. He's like, you got to get rid of the window treatments because all that smoke is trapped in there. But he's like, I can get the smell out of the thing. Now, also while he was supposed to be there, we were supposed to have our house cleaners today, the professional house cleaners. Now, originally the house cleaners were supposed to come in November, but we had to cancel them because we didn't close. So then they rescheduled until New Year's Eve. And we're like, you're going to work on New Year's Eve? Yeah, we're going to work on New Year's Eve. Okay, you'll work on New Year's Eve. Fine, I'll be there. And then, like several days before that, they canceled. And my wife was pissed off. Like a couple, maybe a week or two before that. She was pissed off. Because, like, you scheduled it. Now you're canceling it. What are you fucking doing?
Well, especially when you said, look, are you sure? Yeah, not a problem. You know?
So they rescheduled for today, and my wife's inclination was, fuck it, I'm canceling. And I'm like, you know what, this is before we closed and everything. I'm like, the way things are going, keep the January 4th date for now. Because who knows?
Yeah.
So they're supposed to come today. They texted us yesterday to confirm everything. An hour before they're supposed to show up, yeah, our staff has a fever, COVID. Are you fucking kidding me?
No, it's what we're dealing with. Like I said, Davin, it's what we're dealing with, right? And you know me, I'm one of the most impatient, no bullshit. I don't want to hear it. It's the way it is. It's the way it is.
So then they want to.
You can't find people. You need fucking people. You can't manufacture people. You know, I mean, it's frustrating, but, you know, it's just the way. I mean, if it was normal times, no, that's bullshit. It's not.
Well, that goes back to my point. Is like, let's go to work, people. Enough. It's the cold. Relax. So then
you know what? I mean, they're not making money either. You know, I mean, it's not like they're going to hang out. I mean, they're not making money. You know, so everybody's losing here.
So then they want to reschedule till next Tuesday. And my wife's like, nope. I want a refund. Enough. Because they canceled on New Year's Eve. Now, originally, they said on New Year's Eve they were closed for the holiday. But then today, they're like, well, because we had a shortage of people on the 31st. So their story changed. So we have somebody tentatively coming on Saturday, if he can get his staff there. And then hopefully the carpet people are coming on Monday. But this is holding everything up because we can't really move our shit in until we get this place cleaned. And it's
Yeah, you can't be moving your good stuff into that place with that smoke or stank, you know, and that nicotine coats everything. When Mr. Helix bought his temporary place in between one place and when we moved in together, his walls, there was paneling that if you just wiped it, it was all like that browny yellow from the nicotine stuck on everything. So it's like we wiped all the walls in his place. Everyone, because ugh.
Yeah. But you have the luxury of still being in your place. I mean, when you're between...
Yeah, but Joe, like, yes.
Yeah.
I have the luxury of maintaining my place, but I'm paying two mortgages. I'm not making money that I thought I was going to be making, and I'm spending money like crazy right now.
Yeah.
Because nothing is cheap, right? Boom, $1,000 here, $1,000 there. I need to sell this house. I need to get the fuck out of this house. And it is all delaying shit. That's what I'm saying. I don't have patience for the COVID shit anymore because this isn't the COVID killer. Let's go, people. Put on your hazmat suit and clean the fucking toilet. Let's go.
Yeah. And to tell you the truth, if that's the deal, the clock is running because you really want to get the house on the market now.
I want to get the house on the market by March.
Okay.
You know, because that's when people start looking again. There's not a lot of inventory right now. There's nothing like this on the market right now. And we've already been told that by our real estate agent that she already has somebody interested in the house.
That's good.
Wow. Awesome.
This shit's going to sell, but I got to sell it. I got to get the fuck out.
Yeah.
So. That's what happens. Moving is one of the most stressful things. Buying a house and moving. Oh my God! They should have college courses on how to do it.
I don't know if I'm going to buy another house if I go there down. So I don't know what I'm going to do. But let me tell you something. Buying and selling at the same time was one of the ending a marriage was one of the most nerve-wracking times I've ever had.
Yeah. I'm pretty much convinced I'm going to be carried out of here because I just don't think I have another move left in me.
I won't be carried out of here. The place after this one, whenever that will be the place I'm carried out of.
That's the one? Okay.
Because I think it's going to be the condo, because I went to see Anthony's sister, Dawn, has a condo down in North Carolina that I was looking at, and they're not going to buy it. And I'm looking around, and I'm like, all right, this is probably going to be where I'm going to call it a life, you know? So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I'm going to call it a life.
Yeah.
So today we bought our bedroom furniture. We bought our bedroom furniture, which we should get in August. In August is when the bedroom furniture should arrive.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
What are you going to do? Before we take our break, any New Year's resolutions, kids?
To stay healthy.
That's not really a resolution,
yeah.
Joe.
In these times, yeah.
Okay.
You know,
how about you?
That's about it.
How about me?
Yeah, do you have a New Year's resolution?
I don't. It's not a resolution per se, but it's a goal. For the first time in my career, I am working with a professional to get me to the next level. I am working with the former booker for the Letterman show.
Wow.
Yeah. What'd you say, Joe?
I said, okay, I know who that is.
Yeah. Yeah. I am working with him because I'm at the age now. If it's not now, then when is it? And the thing is, he's very complimentary, and other people who have accomplished things in this life, they're very complimentary of me, which they don't have to be. Plenty of people are not. But they're like, you know, you have it all. And this was what this guy said. He's like you're likable. You're a good writer. But you have it all. But this guy said, and then Joey Cola also said. He's like, you know, again, very always been very supportive of me. He's like, if I was a manager,
one of the best, yeah.
He's like, if I was a manager, I would tell you, but we don't know who you are, and that's what Eddie, the guy who I'm working with, said. So I'm trying to write more personal stuff. Stuff about, because, you know, it's just not, there's not a lot of that stuff in my act. There's just not. It's not really where my sense of humor is. So I'm trying to do that so I can put together a TV set, because I figure he probably has the contacts, you know, that when the time comes. And I mean, this guy's very knowledgeable. So why not?
Let me ask the question. Where is the TV set going to get you? You know, it hasn't really, a TV set really doesn't mean anything anymore.
It will get me more money. It will get me, It will get me if it's like, I'm not talking about, I'm talking about one of these Tonight shows, you know, Seth Meyers, whatever the fuck it is. It's still a good video. It will up my pay. It should get me into improvs and funny bones, which I'm not currently in. It should get me to the next level. You know, provided I don't eat my dick on it. If I get my chance and I eat my dick, well, that sucks. What are you going to do? But, I think I will do well with it. So because this isn't working. I can slay a Moose Lodge. I could slay a comedy club for 45 minutes or an hour. So the fuck what? I mean, it's fun. It's good. I'm happy to entertain people. It's not doing anything for me, though.
So what do you want to do? Right. What do you want to do? So besides do that, where else do you want to go with that?
I want to write that TV set. I want to get that TV. I want to secure a TV spot, and then maybe I could get myself a halfway decent manager. And then even if I'm playing better clubs, even if I'm playing A clubs as a headliner, making more money, I'm fine with that. It opens up the door because one thing begets another thing. So there's absolutely no reason. I have all the fucking tools. Everything is there. And he also told me, like, past year or so, if you've seen me, I'd been holding the mic stand off to the side while I was doing my set. He said, put the mic stand behind you. Let's go hold the microphone. I'm like, okay, I'll do that. I mean, and we were talking about today. He's like, I had a feel. I go, it felt fine. I was doing it for years. This other thing was something I've been doing for the past year or two. And he didn't want me. He called it pandering, for instance, I would say, hey, who here got vaccinated? And he's like, there's no need for that. Don't do that. So I'm upset. So now I'm saying, hey, I got vaccinated, or go into the joke. He's making it less pandering and all, which is fine. I'm like, okay. So I've already started implementing stuff, already started doing some more of the personal stuff. For instance, I have a bit about, you know, the teacher sleeping with kids now, which I've had in my act for several years. But now I talk about with that how the teachers wouldn't sleep with me. How, like, when I was going to school, they wouldn't sleep with me because I was wearing, like, and this is true, I was wearing a Jets green sweatshirt with matching Jets green sweatpants. So I said I didn't look like a boy toy. I looked like a boy booger. I said the only way I was going to see a teacher's titty was if I was offering tenure. And then I talk about, you know, how what a loser I was in school, my motivation. You know, I would have done anything to be with a teacher. Now I'll do anything for cake. So I'm still working on that thing. I wrote a bit, which I haven't brought to the stage yet, because I just wrote it, about how growing up as an Orthodox Jew, you know, I couldn't watch TV on Saturday mornings. But when we were growing up, Saturday morning cartoons were the best cartoons. So I would literally, I'd be like sitting like 6 inches from the TV with the volume turned all the way down in my room. It was like I was a drug addict, you know, the way I was watching TV. And so I talk about that, and then I talk about, you know, well, you know.
Well, once you get added into that, I go, do you know how bad I wanted to see a rooster get hit with a shovel?
Yeah.
Yeah, really? I never thought about that.
So then I'll talk
Saturday
about
Saturday morning.
So I talk about that, and compare it to drug thing, and then I talk about, you know, well, God be disappointed, I'm doing it on a Sabbath, but then again, you know, He created the lecherous skunk that is not me too friendly. So in the grand scheme of things, I'm not so bad. And then I talk about, I go, it's like, you know, for you guys to really, it's like now when you're at the office and you're looking at naughty sites on the computer, God knows he's not going to say anything, but the IT team knows and they're telling everybody. So,
that's true.
So, but again, it's about personal thing. Talk about the crazy bicycle I had, as a kid. I think I've talked about this on the air. I had a yellow and black BMX. Now I'm a little younger than you guys, but still, I think it still holds in our generations. At that time, the BMX was a bitchin' bike. That was the bike to have. My mom did not make it so. So on my BMX bicycle, I had two rearview mirrors, one on each handlebar. Yes, Pip is already covering her eyes. I had
I can't even look with my mind's eye.
Exactly. I have a flashlight, you know, like a light on the front for all those night excursions I'm doing. I have a red rocket light on the back of the thing, and I'm wearing a helmet. Now all the kids wear helmets now, but when we were growing up, nobody was wearing helmets. It just wasn't done.
There were lines on the block to beat the shit out of.
Yes,
it.
Yes.
With my father. But mom put them on. I don't care who put them on.
So she's protecting me from oncoming traffic, but she's making me a target for a wedgie, you know. And I say to this day, I would rather run into a freeway and get hit by a semi than have underwear shoved up my ass. So that's the dude.
You're riding the dork cycle.
Exactly.
You should have said you took the coolest looking bike. And you turned it into something that fucking Urkel wouldn't ride.
So this is the type of stuff that I'm trying to write. It's more personal.
Yes, good.
I got to figure out another thing, which I haven't been able to figure out how to make funny. I grew up in an Orthodox family. I went to public school. It was pretty much a Christian town. Pip knows the town that I grew up in. She grew up in the next town over. I mean, now it's a lot more Jewish. But on Saturdays, when everybody's out, you know, doing their lawn or putting on their uniform for PAL or Little League, I got to walk to Temple in a suit and a yarmulke. And I had so much shame. Like, if they would have made a camouflage suit, I would have been, like, hiding in between bushes to get to Temple. So I got to figure out how to make that.
Moses didn't have a car? Yeah.
Moses had no car, Jeff. They were wandering Jews. They were wandering Jews, not driving Jews.
Around for another 30 years, but can we try?
So this is the type of stuff that I'm trying to put forward. And when I told Eddie... He's great. What I told him, I go, well, here's the problem. My mom doesn't want me talking about a lot of things, and my wife doesn't want me talking about a lot of things. And he's like, well, you could actually talk about that. Yeah, and maybe I'll figure out how to make that funny. But it's really hard to do when my shame is apparently less important than their shame.
Yeah. You know, you can't truly be funny until your whole family's dead.
Well, Pip, you've given... Maybe that'll be my resolution.
That's the punch. That's the punch right there.
Can't be funny until your family's dead. That is funny. Can't be funny until your family's dead. Can't be funny. Well, yeah, that's...
A little too true.
Good job, Pip.
Thank you. Every once in a while.
So... Pip lives in a scenario that I grew up in, and I haven't figured out how to make that funny without being hurtful. Pip knows what I'm talking about. I do. We joke on this show about Pip being one of these people, but I grew up in that situation, and I'm trying to figure out how to do that without hurting people in everything. You know,
well you can kind of think about it the same way that you guys come at it with me.
Yes, but you're a big girl. You know, you take it all in stride. The person who is guilty of this is very, very sensitive. Now,
that's really tough. I mean, I am too, but to a degree, you know, but some people just can't, you know, they haven't been diced and pummeled and seasoned like the raw meat that I am after one of our shows.
Well, Pip, I mean, to be fair, I've tried my best with her.
Well, I remember when I was going through the move and everything, and I would post all that co-owner stuff on Facebook?
Yes. Yes.
People are saying that I'm the co-owner. Why are you posting that stuff? I go, because I can't kill you. I go, I got to fight you somehow, and I'm a comic. That's the way I do. That's getting me by, because the other choice is killing you, bitch. I really don't want to sit in the stir. You know? But there was, you know, talking about her, though, and it was nice with a personal story. I don't know if I did it when we've been working together lately, but it's in my act. It was a Memorial Day weekend,
mm-hmm.
and there was a bird on the patio that hurt its wing. And I tell Joanne, I'm going to put the little bird in the box. There's a place that handles wildlife.
Oh, I saw you do this joke. I saw you do it. Yeah, it worked well.
Yeah, it's called the bird joke. And about this bird, and this whole story about Joanne freaking out and leaving the bird on the side of the parkway and her naming it and stuff. And the day that happened, I go, I've got a goof on this. 7 years later, it finally made the stage, you know. But it was like there was a sense of satisfaction that I go, I gotta do this fucking bit. And you did it, you hammered it out, and it's in the fucking set, you know. But it's,
well, here's my dilemma, though.
Some personal stuff.
Here's the dilemma, though. Well, you could say your mother's not coming to the shows. Do the joke. Yes, but remember, I'm trying to write shit for TV right now. So what's the point of hammering out this joke, and then I probably wouldn't put it on TV because I don't want to hurt her with this. And so I got to figure that out.
You got to.
We have talked about.
You want to fight? You know.
We have talked about this scenario, Devin, because I brought to you a situation that I had that was insane, and we talked about writing some kind of treatise up about it, but then I realized that it would be too close to home for the person involved, and I didn't want to be cruel.
Yeah, but now that person's out of your life, so we could do it.
Well, you know, you do these things, and you think about what are the repercussions, and you don't do things to stay small. You do things to reach an audience. If it got bigger play, it would be obvious who I was talking about, and it would still be incredibly hurtful. So that's why I had to back away from it. There was no way for me to present it in all of its insane glory without being a real scumbag. And I can't.
I, with what the situation I grew up on, and it's still current, not in my abode, I'm
right.
sure I could mine a lot of comedy from it. I just have to figure out. But whatever. The point is, that is my goal for comedy this year.
But here's the deal. A lot of comedy, and it's funny you say that, because I figured you're one of the few comics that didn't have, like, an issue with something like that, you know?
What do you mean? Well, hold on. An issue with what?
Well, with pain in your life. You know, I've had a pretty
good upbringing. My life isn't as tragic as so many people, but we all have shit. I just say I'm a lot more well adjusted than most people. Like if you meet the stock that I come from, I danced on the fucking devil's grave with this shit. I'm as normal as you're gonna get.
But it's weird when you do a person. I was on a fair one, one of Ant's, the show on Ant's platform. I was on with Dave Landau, who was a co-host at that time. And we got into, like, our parents' suicide. His, you know my story, and Dave's mom committed suicide and stuff like that. And Dave made a joke about, you know, my dad's suicide. And he goes, I'm sorry. I go, no, I get it. And I think only somebody that went through a parent's suicide we get that, because we used that joke that you did. We used that as to fight that pain and that thing.
But see, that's where you're wrong, Joe.
That's
where you're wrong. I'm gonna defer to the guy who I'm working with, because that's who you are. That tells who you are. So if you can bring that joke to the audience, you are letting them in. If what this guy is saying is right, and I believe he is, because Joey said the same thing to me, and we both respect Joey and all.
I'm not going to bring it, but if you ever sat and talked with Joey, he's got a very tragic backstory as well.
Right. So for you to say no, only somebody who went through what you went through. That's what I'm thinking. The person who I'm working with would say, no, you got to bring that. If you can, you got to bring that to the stage, because you are making yourself vulnerable. He said today Schimmel was the most vulnerable. Robert Schimmel was the most vulnerable comic he ever worked with. And if you think, here, I'll give you the story. And again, Joey didn't know what I've been working on. So Joey tells me this. I'm going to name drop, because Joey Cola is a comic friend of ours. Joey Cola is
one of the greatest guys in the world and brilliantly funny.
He's doing Just for Laughs with Dave Attell. Robert Schimmel, Bobby Slayton. It's the four of them on this show for this week, and they're all doing 20 minutes, and they keep on rotating who goes where, because they're all killers. All four of those comics are great.
Yep, that lineup, absolutely.
So Joey's watching a tell up there, and he's sitting with Slayton and Schimmel, and Joey's like, man, look at him. He's killing. And both Schimmel and Slayton say, yeah, but who is he? So that's what Schimmel and two of the greats said, and that's the advice I'm getting. So that's the advice I'm passing on to you.
Well, Bobby Slayton is one of the funniest around. He sells out everywhere he goes, and he's one of the best there is. If you forget, he'll remind you every 5 minutes. Yeah.
Funny. But yes, to answer Pip's question, that is what I am working towards. It is very hard for me. I've been doing this close to 25 years. I haven't had a ton of personal stuff. I did have this joke that I'm going to bring back. I just remembered it now. It was about being an only child, and you can't blame shit on somebody else when you're an only child. So this is true. My Legos would be on the floor, and my dad would walk in. I brought it to stage once or twice, and he'd be like, "Whose toys are these?" And you know, 10-year-old, you sit there and go, he doesn't really know. He doesn't know whose toys these are. I go, they're mom's toys. She might be a bit of a Lego maniac. I think you should have her clean these up right away.
But I tell you though, Watson trying to get to a level. There was one night I was doing a firehouse. There's 300 people. I fucking leveled the play. I mean, leveled. A-plus set. Leveled. Adam's at Governor's. I go to Governor's. I watch this set. I'm like, I'll never be that fucking good. Then why am I even fucking trying this for? You know, so there always is a level that you aspire to be to, you know?
Well, that's just it. There's funny. There's a lot of us that are funny. Not everybody's funny. There's a lot more that aren't funny. But then... what?
Lately.
But then it's about... I think what I'm being told is you have to be memorable and interesting, too. Like, who are you? So that's what I'm working with. The goal is – I told him, I got to get a TV thing. He's been so complimentary of me, and he doesn't have to be. I'm paying this guy. He could tell me you need to work this, that, the other thing. But he and Joey, unprovoked, said, this is the thing I would do with you. So I'm like, okay, let's do it. And it's so hard for me. So, I mean, Joe and I are working together 2 weeks? Week?
February 18th, I think, February 18th and 19th.
No, we also got the 14th and 15th coming up of January.
Oh, that's true.
So Joe is going to see me probably working on some new stuff, and there are probably going to be a lot longer lulls in the laughs than I'm used to. And if you know me, that drives me crazy. But But Eddie told me, he's like, it's going to be hard. He's like, you have to be willing to take some steps back to go forward. So that's what I'm going to be doing.
That's not the 14th or 15th of this month, is it?
Yeah, we're doing Harrisburg, stupid.
This month?
Yes.
February.
No, January. And then
January?
Yes. Let me get my book.
That's crazy. Just remember... do everything in threes. K's are funny. You know, I think that this is really a great idea, and I think it's really admirable to want, you know, pick a goal. I mean, not that it's a new goal, but pick a goal and say to yourself, what do I need to do to reach this goal? And talk to people whose work and opinions you admire, and look to them. What do they suggest? What do they do? What works for them? Not stealing material, of course, but what sort of tools can you bring to your already set up toolbox to get to the next spot? I think this is great, and I look forward to seeing how it works for you.
Oh, me too. Joe, January 14th and 15th with Comedy Zone.
Okay. I'll check the book at the break. I think I'm good.
January 14th and 15th of Comedy. Christ, this is what I'm doing now on the air. And let's see. And
then we're doing February, I think, 19th.
February 19th for David K. Yes.
Okay, I'm sure I got that in the book. I'll check it. The break.
Let's fucking hope so, because I asked you.
You guys can work on your appointments. I've been moisturizing my hands.
Assholes. But yeah, so that is what I will be doing, and yeah, so that is the goal. Pip, do you have anything before I take a break?
Nothing.
Okay, good. Pip will not be improving herself at all. She's perfect the way she is.
No, that's not it. I just give up.
That's fair too. Pip plans to give up more in 2022.
There's a girl. Let's have a goal.
Pip, you will say, when you see Pip, she will be donning a white surrender flag wherever she goes.
Funny. Oh, I'm just affixing it to the new car.
There you go. So I met one of the neighbors, very nice guy, and
oh, good.
My wife met both neighbors, and he's like French, and he's like, oh, I have a bit of an accent. I go, no, I couldn't tell. Already, I'm an asshole, but he seems like a lovely guy.
Be nice, yeah, I have to be nice.
That is me being nice, but he seems.
Oh God, help them.
Yeah. All right. So whatever. Yeah. Hopefully you guys will come over. I mean, I know Pip will be there for the show. Hopefully Joe will come over at some point. All right.
Yeah. Are you kidding? I'm going swimming next week.
Okay. You can go swim. Enjoy going swimming next week. Enjoy freezing your ass off. Yeah, Pip. You know what? You talk a big game, but you don't come up. It's like fucking a negotiation between you and your husband. So I don't know. I don't know what to believe with you.
I'll come up.
I know you'll come up for the show, but to get you and the mister out on a weekend, you know, the stars have to align.
Please, trying to get us to go and do recycling together, the stars have to align. We don't leave the house anymore.
Ugh.
I have to. They pay me to leave the house.
I'd pay you not to come back. All right.
I know.
On the break, new music from Billy Harley with So Sorry and the Innocent Bystanders with Dawning of the Day, and you can learn more about both them at deucemusic.com. When we come back, Jingle Balls, no more, in one school. And watch out what you're eating in that ranch dressing. Could be filled with something you might not